Markets start their first trading day of the new year in the red. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Traders came back to the markets today faced with, well, pretty much what they left behind at the start of the holidays. Ongoing trade disputes, a partial government shutdown, concerns over interest rates, plus new data that add to concerns global growth is slowing down. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Good morning.
Good morning.
We had some new numbers out today, especially on global manufacturing. What do those tell us?
The China manufacturing data was a little bit softer than people expected. It wasn't so much softer that I think it's a cause for concern, but the market does seem to be reacting negatively to it and concerned. It brings back to light the issue of global trade and where are we with our trade tariffs and situation with China in our negotiations. Should this be a sign of global trade slowing and trade in China slowing, that's a problem. So it does cause some concern. I think people are going to be focused on that.
And, you know, in terms of these batches of data that we're seeing that may be a little bit down, we're probably going to see a lot of that because the global economy is slowing down. How can we put these numbers into context if you're the average person?
It's important to remember that over a cycle, things go up, things go down. Things can't keep going at a very strong rate. There are ebbs and flows to the economy. So if we're seeing one of those ebbs and things do start to slow down, that's natural progression of the economy. We want to make sure that it's healthy along the way. I think that the market, because it has so much uncertainty and so many different things that are of concern right now, the market is reacting aggressively to all of these. Remember to look to the long term. It's the overall trends that matter, not just one particular data point.
Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Thank you.
Thank you.
The partial government shutdown has many federal workers concerned about their next paycheck, just as the feds were wrapping up the annual combined federal campaign of charitable giving, which ends on the 11th. The Office of Personnel Management calls it the world's largest workplace charity campaign, and it usually raises millions of dollars from federal workers for approved charities. Charities around the country are in the process of running the numbers to see how much money they brought in from their scramble for year-end donations. Many Americans had less of an incentive to give under the new tax law, which doubled the standard deduction. That means folks had to make even bigger donations to qualify for tax write-offs. Marketplace's Renata Sago has more on how charities are looking to offset those potential losses.
Matt Carvalho and his wife have a tradition on the last day of every year. They donate to causes they care about, like Habitat for Humanity. But this past December 31st, they held back.
Because we're not going to be able to itemize this coming year.
That's because their deductions, including those to charities, would have been less than the new standard deduction, meaning no tax benefit for giving. The super rich, though, they take more deductions. Stacey Palmer with the Chronicle of Philanthropy says that's why charities are increasingly targeting them.
To say perhaps you could give more.
Smaller charities don't typically attract as many wealthy donors. Rick Cohen with the National Council of Nonprofits says charities are encouraging average folks to give year-round and changing their messaging.
More on the mission of the organization than on the tax benefit that the donor would receive.
Charities brought in a record $410 billion in 2017, according to Giving USA. We likely won't know the impact of the new tax law for another 6 months or so. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Richmond, Virginia has one of the highest eviction rates in the country. A research project from Princeton University looked at about 30,000 communities nationwide and found that in Richmond, more than 10% of renters are evicted every year. Advocates there are working to change that statistic through a new coalition. Megan Pauly with WCVE in Richmond takes a look at some of their efforts.
The Richmond Youth Host Home Program works with young people ages 18 to 24 who are homeless. Many of them have been evicted. They're paired with families willing to provide a place to stay for a few days or even a few years. Elaine Williams moved in with a host family 5 years ago when she was 19. She first experienced homelessness in middle school and lived with a friend for a while until that friend's family was evicted from their home. She remembers the day her host parents, Larry and Nancy Tingle, told her she could stay with them.
And that was like the life-changing moment for me because I've never heard that before.
Nancy Tingle says it's been great hosting Williams.
I didn't realize how stable my life had been. And I just assumed that everybody had that. So it's been a real learning experience for us.
The Tingles don't receive a check for lending a helping hand, though some host programs in other parts of the country do offer some kind of compensation. Beyond this effort, other local groups are working to help prevent eviction altogether.
Eviction really is hugely disruptive to families.
That's Heather Crislip with Housing Opportunities Made Equal. She's asked the city for close to $500,000 to pilot a voluntary eviction diversion effort. It would provide families that have received eviction notices with about a month's worth of rent. According to Princeton's research in 2014, Richmond residents were evicted because they owed an average of $990 in back rent. Martin Wegbright is with the Central Virginia Legal Aid Society.
That unexpected car repair, that unexpected emergency room visit for your child, things happen.
For Elaine Williams, living with a host family helped her finish college.
When I'm able to, I want to pay this for it. Like, I want to be able to give back.
Her degree is in social work, and she wants to be a community organizer. In Richmond, Virginia, I'm Megan Pauly for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.